Jesus talking. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. And Lord, I pray that you just break open this word to us. Lord, just pierce our hearts to the deepest places. And Lord, just reveal yourself to us tonight. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So a little discourse happens here. Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And it seems like Jesus tells a story, and it's kind of like a preaching experience. Like sometimes, you know, when I'm preaching, I can see all of you shaking your heads. Like there's understanding, right? But I know probably what happens is what happens here. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" And it's like this communication thing. And it's like, you know, if I'm at home and I'll ask my wife, I'll say, "Hey, where's your phone?" And she'll think for a minute, and then she gets this look on her face like, "Oh my gosh, I know right where it's at." And she'll tell me, "It's in my purse." And she's thoroughly satisfied with her answer. But I'm standing there, and it begs another question. "So, dear, where is your purse?" And she looks, "Oh, it's in the basket that I used for school the other day." Okay, and I get aggravated. You know, I'm like, I want a geographical location. I want a place that I can go to, and it just aggravates me. But you know what's funny? Does that aggravate anybody else? Raise your hand. But you know what's hilarious? Because, you know, after all that discourse, she'll say, "Hey, where's your checkbook?" I'm like, "Oh, it's in the jeans I wore yesterday." Which begs a question for her. You know, we all do it. So the disciples hear this parable, but they don't understand it. And you can even see him, though, as Jesus is telling the parable. All the disciples are around him like, "That's right. That's right. Dude, Jesus, seriously, what does that mean?" You know? And they have this question. First of all, let me tell you this. This is what we're going to focus on, but it won't seem like it's what we're focusing on. Jesus said, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. He who has ears, let him hear." So there's the parable. We're going to talk about it a little bit, but that's what I want you to hear tonight. That the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. That means this: any understanding that you have is from God. And when I was practicing this message in front of the mirror, I imagined a wild applause right there. So we'll try it one more time. So any understanding that you have of Scripture, it's a gift from God to you. It's even better than I imagined. I call my mother tonight and say, "You need to listen to tonight's sermon online. It's a wild bunch." The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So that's why all of us, most of us, I don't know if it's everybody, but that's why most of us have like a verse that really means something to us. Like, man, there was just a time when it seemed like you were down for the count, that there was no hope, and then God spoke to you. And I'm going to tell you, when God speaks to you, it's Scripture, all right? And you know why God does it that way? So that when you're reading His Word, you come across, and you're like, "Oh, that was the word. Oh, that's what God said to me, right? So sometimes when I'm just feeling completely hopeless and I'm just so down, you know what I hear in my mind? I hear this. I know the plans I have for you, Jamie. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what I hear, Jeremiah 29:11. I hear that. Anybody else hear that one, that particular verse? I mean, isn't that incredible? And then it's so filled with hope, and it's a word from God. And whatever understanding I have of that verse, it's from God. It's a gift from Him to us. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. And then Jesus goes on. Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. You ever feel like that happened to you? I mean, you just, you sit in a worship service, you know, whether it's tonight or it's on a Sunday or you're in a Bible study, and God just speaks such a powerful word to you. And you're so excited. I mean, really, you probably at that point, you don't even want to hear anything else because that word was enough, right? And then as soon as you get in your car, the phone rings. And it's somebody saying, yeah, I heard about you. I heard what you did. I heard what you said. I heard this. I just found this out. And boom, that word is gone. Right? Has that ever happened to anybody besides me? Yeah. Man, you know those times you're in a worship service and it's exhilarating, it's exciting. You feel like, man, that is it. That's what God wants me to hear. That's what God wants me to know. And you're not even through the atrium when somebody starts mouthing to you. And it's like, boom, that word is gone, right? Listen what else Jesus says. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. They quickly fall away. You see it in worship. You know, all of us have that song that we love, right? That song, we're hoping that when we come to church, we're hoping they're going to do that song. Anybody? You're all looking at me kind of weird. Yeah, oh yeah, right? That's me too. Keith won't do my song, but... And it just looks like there's such joy and just things are so well, but there's no root that's there. That worship, in effect, is nothing but a high. Because let me tell you about God's word. When God speaks a word to us, His intention is that it is enacted upon, right? So inevitably, if I preach a sermon about forgiveness, and it can just be, you know, by my own estimation, it just wasn't a great sermon. There's people lined up to talk at the end of the service about forgiveness. And I can't tell you how many people who come and they got tears streaming down their faces and they're said, you know what God showed me tonight? I've had unforgiveness in my heart and I know exactly what I need to do. I need to go find that person. I need to ask them to forgive me. I know the Lord's forgiven me, but I need to ask them to forgive me. And I say, well, go. And you know what most of them do? They don't. They don't do it. They begin to second guess themselves. There's no root that's there, right? Because every time you're obedient to God's word, you know what happens? Your roots go deeper. Amen. Every time you do what God tells you to do, your roots go deeper. When we're just simply obedient. And I'm telling you, I'll talk to these people down here at the altar, and they... you know, seem so genuinely touched by God, and I'm not at all doubting that they have heard from God, and that is what they need to do. But from here to the car, there's a total shut off. Because the root, there's no root there. It's not anything to to cling to, right? It just kind of grows up. It blossoms for a very short time, but then it dies out because there's no root. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, because somebody might be thinking to themselves right now, well, I know there ain't much root here in my life. So what do I do? Do what God asks you to do and trust him with it, right? Anybody ever kind of get to a point of desperation and you say those words to God, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. And then God lays it on you. Because I promise, if you pray that and say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, I promise you 100 times out of 100, he's going to tell you what to do. And the problem is, it's not going to look anything like what you thought it was going to look like. Because you meant that you would, you know, go to some other continent on a mission trip. You meant that you would work in the preschool 3 times a year. That was a joke. So anyway, you thought something totally different. And then God just kind of blows you out of the water. You have been horrible to your mother for 25 years. I want you to crawl to her and beg her to forgive you. And you're like, wait a minute, God. That's not exactly what I was thinking. But when our roots aren't deep, we blossom for a moment, and that means we'll ask, but we won't do it. It's like if anybody has multiple children, you probably have that one child, you can ask them to do anything, and they will immediately, yes, I will do that. And they never do. They never do. And you ask, you wonder as a parent, why do I even ask, right? And then you probably have that kid. It doesn't matter what you ask them. They've got some back talk. They got some lip. They got some excuse. They don't want to do it. But what does that kid do every time? Fine. And they go and they do it, right? And so when God speaks to us, the evidence that there is no root, that you are incredibly shallow, is that you just won't do what God asks you to do, even when we feel like we initiate that conversation. God, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And then God lays it on us exactly what he wants us to do. And we just say, that was not what I had in mind. Matter of fact, God, I've written it down. Here are 7 things that I will do for you. God says you'll never be able to do those 7 things until you do this thing that I have asked you. I've had people tell me that God told them 10 years to do a specific thing and they wouldn't do it. They just refused. They didn't quit coming to church, though. They didn't quit coming. Maybe their favorite song would be played. They stayed. They were there. But they get this frustration over a decade. They said, you know, I told God whatever he wanted me to do because I'm in this new season of life. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? And he told me that same thing that he told me 10 years ago. Because that's what God wants you to do. And God is going to wait for you to do it. It's not for the efficacy of the thing, right? It's not for that. It's for you. When God asked me to do something, everybody listen to this. It is for me that he wants me to do it, even if it could be perceived that it was for somebody else. That maybe that thing I do, it seems as though maybe it's for their benefit that I do this thing. But when God asks you to do a thing, it is for your good that God is asking you to do it. Because whatever God's asked you to do, it's not that he couldn't get it done himself. It's not that he couldn't get it done by just going to somebody who says, yes, Lord, I'll do it. God wants you to do that thing for you. So a great question tonight. So how do I get deeper roots? Be obedient. We talk about baptism here all the time. We get complaints about it. People who ask, why do y'all just harp on baptism? all the time. And, you know, we always tell people, well, it's actually, we're just quoting Jesus. Apparently, baptism was important to Jesus. Let me tell you, what a simple act of obedience. I've told you this story before, but it's been years ago, and it's worth repeating. A mother called, and her teenage son had made a decision to be baptized. And I had followed up, you know, just seeing when we were going to have a baptism. And the mother tells me, well, I just want you to know, it's probably going to be a little while before he gets baptized. And I said, why? She goes, because I'm not letting him get baptized right now. And I said, oh. How come? I'll tell you why. Because he never does what I ask him to do. He is not an obedient child, and until he learns to be obedient, I'm not going to let him get baptized. And I was like, wait a minute. So because he's not obedient, you're going to require from him disobedience to the Lord. Now that is complete lack of trust in God, right? Maybe God uses that baptism in that kid's life to say, wow, obedience is good. Does that mean he'll never disobey again? No, and I had to be careful, right? Because the mother was kind of drawing it. So if he gets baptized, he won't be disobedient anymore. And I said, I don't know. When did you get baptized?
Did you?
Yeah, that's not... No. I did ask that, but I, before the deeper explanation of why I was asking, I caught myself. And she quickly picked up, I guess I haven't always been obedient since then either. And I'm like... Cha-ching! So it's important. Now let me ask you this, all right? And we'll stay on baptism. Because today, is Matthew here? Matthew Garvey? Is he here? He sits over there by you, Adam. I don't see him. Okay. So Matthew shows up at church today at noon. Yeah, you weren't here. What a letdown. I'll tell you right now, a complete letdown. Matthew shows up at noon with his 81-year-old grandmother, right? It took her 22 to 23 minutes to get up the, is it 10, 11 steps you have to get up to, right? And I had made several suggestions. Hey, you know, and she was adamant. I want to get in that baptistry because she wanted to be obedient. 81 years old, bad back, bad knee. I mean, we could have got her up quicker on a stretcher, right? Because to me, I don't mean that disrespectfully. Some of you are like, well, well, I've got a bad knee and a bad back too. We probably could have got you in here quicker in a stretcher. But anyway, you know, her thing, she just wanted to be obedient. Because she felt like that's what God was telling her to do. And for whatever work it was on her part to get to that baptistry, for most of us, it's not near that. God says, do it. I want you to be baptized, right? You know, what we believe here at this church is we practice what we call New Testament baptism, right? So was Jesus a baby when he was baptized, or was he an adult? He was an adult, right? It was his decision to be baptized. And when I say it was his decision, granted, it's what the Father wanted him to do, but he was obedient to the Father in doing that. And when I say New Testament baptism, we don't believe baptism saves you. I am fully confident Jesus was on his way to heaven before his baptism. Amen. That had no bearing on whether or not he would go to heaven. It's not why he was baptized. That's exactly right. Jesus, when I say New Testament baptism, Jesus didn't get baptized to join the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. It's not why he was baptized. It's not what baptism was for in the Bible. And I realize saying all this is probably incredibly offensive to some people, but I'm telling you, you've got to look at what the Bible says about baptism. And it's important. It was so important that as Jesus was being baptized, the Spirit it came down and God's voice said from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And what Jesus practiced in his baptism was obedience. To be obedient. So I'll come off of baptism and I'll say this. When God speaks to us, his intention is for, his expectation is immediate obedience. Everybody get that? He doesn't share a word with us for us to contemplate it, for us to think about it, for us maybe to try to get ourselves where we're a little better equipped to do it. If we couldn't do it, he wouldn't have asked. And if he asks something of us that we can't do, it's because he fully intends to see it through in us. So no matter how difficult that word may seem, that directive may seem, he fully intends to empower us to be able to do it. And listen, if you're a parent, you understand this. When I say to my son, I want you to take out the garbage, it's not good enough for him to pull out a little notepad and write, I need to take out the garbage. And then get to it when he feels like it. When he feels, hey, let me say it like this. Or do it when he feels worthy to do it. Isn't that what so many of us do? Let me tell you, when God tells you something and your response is, I'm going to do that when I'm worthy to do it, the devil's come and just taken that word right away from you. Because when God speaks it, that's when he wants us to do it. It's important. It matters, right? Let me see where I left off. They have no root when trouble comes. They quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And so that word gets choked out. And I think the example I just gave is probably the best one. When God says he wants you to do something and you say, I'm not worthy to do that, right? When you say that, that is the thorns choking you out. Isn't it? I'm not worthy to do that. How many of us tell ourselves that? Because I promise you, how many of you believe that God not only forgives sin, but he forgets it? How many of you really believe that? Raise your hand. Let's all know how to proceed. Do we really believe that? Because how many of us have not done something God wants us to do because of our past? And because of bad decisions we've made, or because of the way we made a fool of ourselves in front of a bunch of people. And so we have a fear that, well, now if I do what God wants me to do, they're all going to remember that. But God forgives and forgets. I mean, this is important for whether or not we really believe it. Because here's my thing. I think, I'm going to say most of us, I'm trying to think what word to use. I'm going to say that I think most of us don't really believe that God forgets. We don't really believe it because we allow it to hamper what we're willing to do. So for clarification, how many of you have ever done anything you're ashamed of? How many of you would like to come up and tell us about it? If you're willing, you probably shouldn't be. Yeah, like I would ever turn it over to you, Lord, because I promise you share all that stuff that I know, you're out of here. I guarantee it. But here's the thing. All of us have done those things. And the disadvantage we have, most of us that aren't in law enforcement, we don't know what everybody else has done, but we know what we have. And when you know what you've done, guess what assumption you make about everybody else?
They've done it too.
No. Or, my gosh. No, come on. Think about it. I know that sounds right, what you just said, but you're lying. What do we think about everybody else? They've never made any mistakes. They've never done anything that they're ashamed of. It's only me. I mean, most of us think that what we've done is the worst thing that's ever been done. That's what we tell ourselves. I've done this horrible thing. And I think you are right. I think we kind of assume everybody else knows what I've done too, right? But that they've never done anything. But those are the kind of things that we tell ourselves. And those, and when we do that, inevitably what's happening, we're just choking out God's word in our lives. We're not listening to Him. We won't be obedient to Him because of those things. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. I've used all of these as examples of how this kind of happens in our lives. But ultimately, what this parable is about is why some people hear the gospel and are saved, and other people hear the gospel and are not. And the point of the parable is not about how the destruction takes place. The point of the parable is not why they don't. The point of the parable is this: we have to trust God. And if you trust God, then you're scattering seed. You take those opportunities to tell people what God has done in your life. Listen, it's important. We just prayed over Derek Royalty tonight. I got up here a little bit late. Derek is the new senior high pastor, and the elders met Sunday, and we talked to Derek, been praying about Derek, and so tonight was kind of his first night as the official senior high pastor. So we went down, and we introduced him to the kids, although they all know him. He's been down there for 3 years, and we prayed over him. But I told the kids this. I said, it's not going to be Derek that reaches your friends or that, you know, reaches the kids you go to school with. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. And tonight, when we talk about scattering seed, that's not the job of a preacher. That's all of our jobs. The command, what Jesus wants us to be obedient to, is scattering seed. And so many of us in here, that just almost takes our breath away. So how do I scatter seed? I don't know exactly what to say. Let me ask you, has God done any good thing in your life? Raise your hand. Then tell somebody what good thing God has done in your life. And here's your ultimate trust as you scatter seed, is that God is in control, that He is faithful. I don't know why those that hear the gospel don't get saved. I can't explain that to you. But I can tell you this, for those that heard the gospel and were saved, it's this incredible work that God does. And God doesn't ask us to evaluate who can be saved and who cannot. He tells us to scatter seed. And just know, when you scatter seed, some of it's going to fall on the rocky places. Some of it's going to fall among the thorns. And He doesn't say that to discourage us. He says that to encourage us, because He says, trust me. Because you don't know where the good fertile soil is, but I know. So you just go and you just scatter seed and you trust what I can do with that. And if God's done any good thing in your life, then you share that with people. There are already people that you could go up to right now and say, I've got to tell you this incredible thing that God did in my life. And you know what? They wouldn't hear it from me. They wouldn't hear it from somebody else. They certainly wouldn't hear it from Linda. But, they will hear it from you. And that was the whole purpose of God forging that relationship. And God allowing your paths to cross. Because part of what God wants you to do is be faithful to scatter seed in their life. And then you trust God with it. You trust Him. Because if you're here tonight and you're a believer, God has done something amazing in your life. And you could share that with somebody else. And that would be an encouragement. We are completely out of time. And I still have about 30 minutes, right? But I'm just going to ask you this tonight. I just, you know, my prayer for us, and I include myself in this, is that we would just be an obedient people. That we would hear God's word. Listen, I want you to think about that kid, right? That kid that you say, take out the trash, and he says, yes, but he won't do it. And you have wondered, you have read books about this kid. What can I do with this kid? Well, let me tell you, the first great thing you can do is don't be that kid in your spiritual life. When God speaks that word to you, his expectation is immediate follow through on that. Immediate obedience. When he shares it, that is your clue to when he wants you to be obedient to what he's asked you to do. That we would be an obedient people. Because Jesus said, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So whatever understanding you have, it's a gift from God. Whatever that verse is for you, or those verses for you that you think of in times of trouble, that's a gift from God. And he is faithful, and the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you because God loves you, and he chose you before the foundation of the world. And he asked that we be obedient. There's somebody in your life right now that is desperate for seed. And God has put you in their life to scatter that seed in their life. And God is asking you to do it now. You see, God knows something about that that you don't know. God knows that they may lose their job in 3 days. God knows they may have to move away in 3 days. God knows all that. And that's why that word is crucial. So our trust isn't in our words. Our trust isn't in our persuasion. Our trust is in God. The Bible says that the word of God doesn't return void, that it's never wasted. That there's always purpose there. That there's always something that's there. And if we believe that, then we share that. And we share, and then we just trust God. Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, you said in your word that if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we would be saved. And I know there are some here tonight, and they've never bowed a knee to you. They've never invited you to come into their life. They've never asked you to forgive them of their sin. And God, that is a yearning that only you can put on a person. And I pray tonight that people would be saved. Lord, I pray for some who the obedience rut that they're trapped in is they won't be obedient about baptism. They know that they're saved. But they won't follow in what you ask them to do next. I pray for people to let that go tonight and to say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient no matter what anybody else thinks. So, Father, we are your sons. We are your daughters. You have been there for us in time of great tribulation. You have answered prayers more miraculously than we had even prayed for you to. You had been there in the most difficult of times. And when the world and the enemy were speaking hopelessness to us, you spoke hope. So speak to us, Lord. I'm asking you to stand. I'm not going to keep the altar long tonight, but I'm just going to ask you if you need to come. Don't wait. Just step out now. This altar is open. If you need to talk about being saved, having a relationship with Jesus, if you need to talk about baptism, I'm here. There are other pastors here, and we would love to talk with you about that. So the altar is open. You come.